All right, so we are holding on mem bays, umud bays, 11 lines from the bottom. A line against Shavas. We're discussing like this. In the Mishnah, we had two machloikasin, or two different cases involving Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on one side, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva on the other side. One case is if a person, so the Mishnah had told us that if a person was taken out of a city on Shabbos by duress, for example, by goyim or by ruach ra, he was in a, you know, was in a depressed mood or whatever, and he wandered outside the tchum. So then we said that he doesn't have a tchum; he only has four amos. But we said hechziruhu, if they, we said hechziruhu, if the goyim or the ruach ra brought him back into the city, ke'ilu lo yotza, then it's as if he didn't leave and he has his tchum of 2,000 amos back. Then we had another case in the Mishnah where the goyim or the ruach ra, whatever it is, took him to a different city, which according to Rashi is an enclosed city. It has walls around it. Other Rishonim disagree and say it doesn't have to, but whatever. Or if they put him in an enclosure, a dir or a saha, which are various kinds of animal pens or enclosures. So then we had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say that he's able to walk throughout that enclosure. All of that enclosure is considered like four amos. And Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva say that no, the whole thing is only considered that no, he's only allowed to walk four amos within that itself. In other words, both of them agree he doesn't have a tchum of 2,000 amos, but the question is basically whether the walls that he's inside of now, even though he didn't start out Shabbos inside those walls, is that whole walled area considered like four amos? We're going to discuss later on in the Perek that when a person starts out Shabbos in a certain city, then the whole city counts as four amos for him, and his tchum only starts from outside of that. So here, is it the same kind of thing or not? So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say yes. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva say no. Then the Gemara goes on to tell a story, or the Mishnah rather goes on to tell a story that one time these four chachamim were on a boat coming from a place called Plandrasin, which seems to be it may be Brindisi nowadays, a port in southern Italy. Ask any of the Esrog sellers nowadays; they can probably tell you about it. I think they still use it nowadays as a port. Anyway, so one time they were on a ship from there back to Eretz Yisrael, and the ship left on Shabbos, or the ship was blown back into the sea on Shabbos, whatever it is. And the question is, are they allowed to walk throughout the whole ship? In effect, that's the same kind of situation, because in a certain sense, because they didn't start out Shabbos in a certain place. They started out off the coast of Italy, and now in the middle of Shabbos, there's someplace in the middle of the Mediterranean. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said same thing, same way as when a person is placed into this dir or sahar on Shabbos, he's allowed to walk throughout the enclosure. The same way, now we're on this boat, we're allowed to walk throughout the whole boat. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, then it says, did not, because they wanted to be machmir on themselves. Now, so one of the things we're going to see in the Gemara, what do you mean they wanted to be machmir on themselves? Isn't that the actual halacha that they hold, that you're only allowed to walk four amos? So now we're going to discuss these points in the Gemara. So Amar Rav, Hilchasak Ram Gamliel Bedir V'Sahar V'Sfina. So Rav says the halacha is like Ram Gamliel in all three of these cases. When the person was placed into the animal pen or some other kind of enclosed area, or where he was on a ship and the ship is traveling on Shabbos. So in all those cases, the halacha is like Ram Gamliel, that you're allowed to walk throughout the whole enclosure on Shabbos. Or Shmuel, Amar Shmuel says no. Hilchasak Ram Gamliel Basfina. The halacha is indeed like Ram Gamliel when it comes to the ship. So you're allowed to walk throughout the whole ship that you're on. Aval b'dir v'sahar loy, but not with a dir v'sahar. There, the halacha would be like Rabbi Shmuel, like Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, that you're only allowed to walk four amos. So the Gemara points out, D'kula amam mias halacha k'Ram Gamliel Basfina. Okay, the bottom line is both Rav and Shmuel agree that the halacha would be like Rabbi Gamliel when it comes to being on a ship. So why indeed, my time, why should being on a ship be different than a dir v'sahar? In both cases, you have you weren't in this place when Shabbos began. Again, it's one thing if you were inside before Shabbos began, then sure, the whole thing counts as 4 amos. But if you weren't inside, so in the case of the deer v'sahu, you weren't in them before Shabbos. In the case of the ship itself was not in this place before Shabbos. So why should there be that difference? And according to Shmuel, there was even a difference in the halacha. Rabbi says the reason is because at least in the case of the ship, you did start out within those walls before Shabbos. So it's true, the ship itself is moving. Fine, but you still, the fact is that you were inside, you were between the walls of the ship when Shabbos began, and therefore that could be, therefore that whole enclosure can be counted like your 4 amos. Reb Zera gives a different reason, because the ship itself is taking him from the beginning of 4 amos and putting him at the end of 4 amos. What does that mean? Rashi gives 3 different explanations. Number one, Rashi says, is when a person is on a boat, the boat is moving all the time. So every time he takes a step, he's walking more than 4 amos, because every time he takes a step, the boat itself is moving, and therefore, so he never really stood at any time within 4 amos. So he was never koina any particular 4 amos, and therefore he can continue to walk throughout the whole ship. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi brings a second explanation that we're talking about. Imagine, for example, he's walking. Let's say the ship is traveling towards the east, and he's walking towards the west within the ship. So every time he takes a step like this, he's trying to get someplace further west. But meanwhile, the ship is moving him further east. So it keeps on moving him back into the same 4 amos that he started from. And therefore, that would be another reason for Reb Zera to say that Reb Zera would explain why according to Reb Gamliel, the whole ship counts as 4 amos. Although Rashi doesn't like that explanation, because he says the fact is in the Mishnah, we don't see any distinction which direction he's walking. According to that explanation, you would say it would make a difference whether he's walking east or west, for example, when the ship is traveling east. So Rashi doesn't like that explanation. Then he gives a third explanation. That it, again, it doesn't really matter what direction you're walking relative to the ship's travel. You pick up your foot before you even put down your foot. You're already outside the 4 amos. You're already outside the original 4 amos that you were in, and you're in another 4 amos. So in effect, it's similar to the case of our Mishnah, therefore, where Goyim took a person out of a city and put him into a different 4 amos, and he always has 4 amos. So he's always going to have 4 amos, and the ship as long as the ship is moving. So those are the 3 explanations in Rashi what Reb Zera means. So again, either because he never actually stood within 4 amos because he's constantly moving, or because the ship is taking him in the opposite direction that he's walking, or because he can't even put down his foot before he's outside of 4 amos already. So every time he picks up his foot, he has a new 4 amos. That's Reb Zera's explanation. Okay, so the Gemara says might be not.
Yeah, Rabbi, with the ship, when he puts his foot down and the boat's going east and he's going west, that's only good if you're going one way direction. But if you walk
that's
in
why
the bus
Rashi
one way.
That's exactly why Rashi doesn't like that explanation, because the Mishnah and nothing in the Mishnah and nothing in the Gemara over here implies that we have that limitation that you're only allowed to walk in one direction on the ship. That's exactly what leads Rashi to say that even though he heard this explanation, he says he heard it from his uncle Reb Shimon in the name of the Rav, which I think means Rabbeinu Gershom. Nevertheless, Rashi doesn't like that explanation and prefers the last explanation, which is that every time he picks up his foot before he can even put it down, he's already in a new 4 amos. Anyway, that was all according to
with that logic, every time he takes a ship and Shabbos starts, he's going to be Machal Shabbos, even without moving, because you're taking the amos of the sea, not the amos of the ship.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that point in a little bit. We're going to talk about how that works. So we'll get to that soon. My Binayu, the Gemara says, so what's the practical difference between Rabba's reason, which was that he started out Shabbos within the ship, and Reb Zera's reason about the ship moving? So what the answer is, Ikka Binayu, Shenifchasu Dofnei Sfina. One Nafkamina would be, let's say the walls of the ship were broken down And now you don't have mechitzas anymore. So according to Rabbah, you can say, okay, he started out in these mechitzas, but now you don't have these mechitzas anymore. Therefore, he should be limited to four amas. Whereas according to Rabbi Zera, it wouldn't matter because the ship is still constantly moving. Inami bekoifetz misfina l'sfina. Or let's say during Shabbos, he jumps from one boat to the other boat. So now according to Rabbah, again, you can't walk more than four amas in the new boat. You didn't start out in the aver of these mechitzas. Whereas according to Rabbi Zera, it doesn't matter. The new boat is also still constantly moving. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera, my time alay omaka Rabbah. Now, why doesn't Rabbi Zera say like Rabbah? Why doesn't he accept Rabbah's svara? Now, okay, I mean, he's entitled to his own svara and he's entitled to his own opinion about the nafkamina over here. But after all, we should at least accept Rabbah's opinion that there is shavas ba'avra mechitzes, and that would result in a kula a chumra in these two cases we just mentioned, where the walls of the ship broke down, or where he jumped from one ship to another. The answer is Amalach mechitzis lavriach mayim asuyas. The essential purpose of the walls of the ship is to keep out the water. So you can't. So sure, they're considered mechitzis for some purposes in Hilchas Shabbos. No question about it. They'd still have, for example, as we learned in Masech the Shabbos, that the inside of the ship therefore is considered Rishos Yachid. But you want to talk about to have the whole ship be considered four amos, that he says that not when you have walls that are just made to keep out the water rather than to actually really enclose the area within them. So therefore, Reb Zera says, so I can't accept that just because you will shove us ba'aver mechitzes, that therefore these mechitzes should be considered like four amos. No, well, that only applies to mechitzes that are made for a purpose of the mechitzes themselves. For example, the deer v'sahar of our Mishnah, the animal enclosures where you put up the walls over there in order to keep what's inside them. Conversely, why doesn't Rabbah agree with Reb Zera's opinion that it has to do with that the ship is constantly moving him from within four amas to outside four amas? The answer is that Rabbah would say the whole machlokas we have in our Mishnah between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on one side versus Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva on the other side, the whole machloikas is only when the ship is, there's no machloikas when the ship is moving. When the ship is moving, sure, then fine, I can accept Reb Zera's, we can accept Reb Zera's svara, the ship is constantly moving you, therefore you never got any particular four amos, and therefore you can continue walking throughout the ship. Even Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva would be fine with that. Ki pligi b'sha'amda. So Rabbah says the whole machloikas is when the ship is standing still. So now the question is, are they kona four amas at that point, and then they can only walk four amas within that ship? Now you don't have Reb Zera's reason about the ship moving. What about the water underneath the boat? Well, first of all, if the ship is standing still, then the water is also, I mean, it's reasonable. Yeah, but whatever, the point, yeah, let's say they anchored in the middle of the water, let's say. But so the fact that the water is around the ship is moving around is neither here nor there. Yeah. No, how would it? The ship is still standing in one place, that's the point. Once they anchor it, it stays in one place. Hey. When the ship is moving, that's what we just said, according to Reb Zera, because the ship is moving is why you have the kula that they are for you. So in other words, it comes out that Rabbah and Reb Zera are not just arguing about the reasons of the Tanoim, they're arguing about the actual scope of the machlokas. Does the machlokas apply when the ship is moving as well, or only when it's standing still? And then you have within that, by the way, you have a machlokas between the Ritva and Marsha. Does he mean to say that they're arguing about when it's standing still? And according to Reb Zera, rather, would we say that according to Reb Zera, then would it mean that the Tanoim and our Mishnah are arguing both when the ship is standing still and when it's moving? In both cases, Reb Gamliel would allow him to walk, and Reb Elazar ben Azariah would allow you to walk through the whole ship, and Reb Yeshua and Reb Akiva not. Because you could say that Rabbi Gamliel would say that even if the ship is standing still, that That even if the ship is standing still, you still have. So we said that Rabban Gamliel would say it's like the deer of a sahar, and you would say therefore that you because and therefore you would be able to walk throughout the whole thing. So is it that? And they're also arguing about. So we would say Rabban Gamliel allows it always, whether you're standing still, whether the ship is standing still or not. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva would answer it in both cases. Or is it that maybe indeed, according to Rabbi Zera, maybe they would be makel when the ship is moving, and they'd only Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva would be machmel only when it's standing still. Yeah. Well, that's the point. It's closed in, but Rabbi Zera had said that the walls are only lahavriach mayim; they're only to keep out the water, so they're not really considered mechitzas for this purpose. Yeah, but the point is, it's still, they're not meant to, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Amr of Nachmi, it's called Masnissin Nami Deka Dibbahal Lechas Leiplegi. The Mishnah also, the wording of the Mishnah seems to fit better with the idea that Rabbah is saying that they're not arguing when the ship is standing still, or when the ship is moving. Mimai, where do we see that? Midkatani, because the Mishnah says, Maisa Shabom we plandrasin. It happened that these four Chachamim were coming on a ship from Plandrasin, the Fligus Svinasam Bayam, and the ship was sailing in the sea in the middle of the Mediterranean. So we said Rabban Gamliel over Rabban Elazar ben Azariah Hocho Eskula. So they followed their opinion and walked throughout the whole ship. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva leizazu ba'am ba'amas shirotzu lahachmer al atzman. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva did not move out of four amas because they wanted to be machmer on themselves. So let's analyze that last line. Iyamet b'shleimet b'mahalechas leipligi. If you say like Rabbah that these four chachamim are not arguing when the ship is moving, so now the ship is moving. Haidu katani rotzu. So therefore, the mission is saying Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva didn't have to limit themselves to four amas. They did as a chumrah, and they did as a personal chumrah dilma amda, because they took the view, what if the ship stops suddenly and then we're still walking outside of our four amas? They may not realize, although they may not realize right away when the boat is about to stop. Eli, Amit Pligi, but Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying, if you say like Rav Zera, that they're arguing in both cases, whether the ship is moving or whether it's standing still, or they're arguing, let's say, only when it's moving, as the case may be. Hi, rotzu lahachmer. What do you mean they wanted to be machmer? According to them, isurahu. According to them, it would be an actual. It would be an actual isur. So the Mishnah works out better according to Rabbah's understanding. Because according to them, if we're saying according to Rab Zera that when the ship is that even when the ship is moving, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva hold that you can't walk more than four amas. So then what do you mean? So the Mishnah says that they didn't move out of four amas. Shirotzu lahachmer al atzman. What do you mean shirotzu lahachmer al atzman? They actually, according to them, it's required api halacha. To Rabban Gamliel would say, and again, this svara that we said about that you're constantly moving outside of four amas, that would be Rabban Gamliel's svara. Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Zera, would not accept that. So therefore, they would be arguing when the boat is moving. So new in that case, then they're according to their opinion, they're taka not allowed to walk outside of four amas. So what do you mean shirotzu lahachmer al atzman? It's a personal chumrah of theirs. So that, so Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok says, therefore, the wording of the Mishnah fits better according to Rabbah's understanding of the machlokes. Amr of Ashi Masnissin Nami Deka. Rav Ashi says that here's another point you can see from the wording of our Mishnah that it works out better according to Rabbah's explanation. Dekatani Sfina Dumya de Dir Vesahar, because it mentions these cases of Dir Vesahar, and then it also mentions the case of a boat, and the implication is that there's a certain similarity between all of them. Ma Dir Vesahar Dekvi. Just like a deer v'sahar are fixed in place, those are enclosures for animals that are on land, af svinah nami dekvia, the same thing, the boat that we have to be talking about is we're standing still in one place. And still we're saying that Rabban Gamliel would allow you to walk through the whole thing. So we see, therefore, more like what Rabbah is saying, that the machlokas is only when the boat is standing still. When it's moving, then Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva would indeed allow you to walk around the whole boat, and they themselves would just machna on themselves. Okay. So now the question is like this. So we started the sugya by saying the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. We had a machlokas. We had Rav saying the halacha is like Rav Gamliel in all these cases, Dir Sahar and Sfina, and Shmuel saying only in Sfina, not in Dir Sahar. So Amalei Rav Achabre the Rav of Ashi, Hilchasak Rav Gamliel b'Sfina. What do you mean the halacha is like Rav Gamliel when it comes to a boat? Does that imply Hilchasak Miklal de Pligi? Does that imply that there's an actual machlokas? Again, even we just said that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva should rotzu lahachmur al atzmon. They wanted to be machmur on themselves. In other words, they agree that on a boat you don't have to limit yourself to 4 amos. So that means there's no real machlokas about a boat. So why is Rav and Shmuel, why are they having to say the halacha is like Rav Gamliel in a boat, implying that there would be a different opinion? The answer is ain. Yes, as a matter of fact, there is a different opinion. V'ha Tanya, and indeed we learn a braisa, Chananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Omer, that Chananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, so this is the same Rabbi Yeshua of our Mishnah, he's Omer, he says, Hagos HaBach, by the way, has it in parenthesis, and we have it in front of us in the Gemara in parenthesis, because Rashi explains that Chananya is the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, implying that according to Rashi's Girsa, at least, it didn't actually say who this Chananya was, and Rashi has to supply that information for us. Anyway, but it was the same one, Chananya, the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua. Omer, he says, Kol ha-yom yoshvu v'donu b'dvar halacha. That whole day that they were on the ship, those four Chachamim, they were sitting and discussing this question, what is the halacha in this case? Yes, last night, my uncle, which is Rabbi Yeshua, hechria means he arbitrated, like he came up with the halacha k'rem gamliel b'sfina, the halacha k'rem akibah b'dir v'sahar, that the halacha is like Rav Gamliel with a ship that's moving. We don't have to be choshish that it's going to be standing still. And the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva with a deer v'sahar. Now, that is not actually the final halacha. In general, we have a rule that the Gemara mentions elsewhere. When the Tanoim say that the halacha is like so-and-so, not necessarily is that the last word in halacha. When the Amoroim say that the halacha is like so-and-so, then the halacha remains like that. But among the Tanoim, not necessarily. Here, in fact, the halacha is like Rav Gamliel in all of these things, with the ship, even when it's standing still, like Rabba's explanation, and also with the deer of Asaha, with all of those cases, the halacha is he's allowed to walk throughout the whole enclosure, even though he didn't start there at the beginning of Shabbos. So now we were talking before about, so how do you go on a ship in general when it's going outside the tchum? Tosfos discusses over here. Tosfos starts bringing from the Rashbam that says the ship is going on its own. You're not doing anything. So the ship does count as your 4 amos. And the fact that the ship is going outside the tchum doesn't matter. What you do have to do, is you do have to have Shabbos ba'avim mechitzis. So you do have to have, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, if you're going to be traveling on a ship which is going to be leaving on Shabbos, what you have to do is you come onto the ship, you board the ship before Shabbos, you koina shvis over there, then you can leave, and then you can leave and spend Friday night on land. And then the next morning, when before the ship leaves, then you're allowed to get back on it, and then you're allowed to continue traveling. It's going to be going outside the tchum. Again, it doesn't matter because you yourself are not walking outside the tchum. You yourself are staying on board the ship, and the ship is counted like 4 amos. Tosfos goes into a little more discussion about it. It's not so simple to travel on a ship even a few days before Shabbos, let alone on Shabbos, because you have the first couple of days you're seasick, and it's not. We learned about this in Masechta Shabbos. The first couple of days you're seasick, and there's also the chance they might have to be mechal Shabbos on board the ship and whatever, and therefore you're not allowed. Therefore, we learned over there that you're not allowed to board a ship within 3 days before Shabbos. But okay, there could be where you're going over here for a Dvar Mitzvah, whatever. Tosfos gets into a lot of discussion, pro and con, about this, but this is how the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, that you're able to do that. So you actually allowed, as long as you were Kona Shvisa on the boat before Shabbos, then you are allowed to board the boat on Shabbos. Okay. Boy Rav Chananya. Now Rav Chananya has a different question, which is also sort of relevant to what we were just discussing about a boat, because it, as we'll see. Yesh tchumin l'mayla ma'asora, ein tchumin l'mayla ma'asora. Does the concept of tchum Shabbos apply above 10 tfachim or not? Meaning, like this. So if you have, let's say, suppose that at the edge of the tchum, there's a pillar that's 10 tfachim tall and at least 4x4 wide. Now let's say one end of that is within the tchum and the other end is outside the tchum, then lo tiboylach. There's no question. Obviously, you're not allowed to walk on that thing and go outside the tchum. Da'ara smichtihi. Then that would be considered, in effect, like thicker ground. In other words, it's no different, in other words, in that sense, from a hill or something. We obviously don't say that if you have a hill higher than 10 tfachim that you're allowed to walk outside the tchum. So this would be the same thing. Once it's dalar al dalar, it's a mokum choshuv, and it's easy to walk on, then, of course, we would say that tchumen apply. The question would be, what if the pillar is 10 tfachim tall, but it's less than 4x4 wide? And it could be, by the way, one dimension of it could be very, very long, but the other dimension is less than 4 tfachim. So it's not nicha tashmishte, it's not that easy to use because it's narrow. So now, would you be allowed to walk on that and go outside the tchum? Does the concept of tchumen apply above 10 tfachim? Inami dekaozel bekfitza. Another version would be, what if a person is jumping? Now, what do you mean jumping? When you jump, you have to land on the ground. Rashi explains, Bashem. Rashi explains that we're talking about a person who uses a name of Hashem to fly from one person, a person who uses Shemus Kedoshim to fly from one place to another. So he's going above 10 Tfachim. Is he allowed to do that? Is he allowed to do that and go outside the Tchum? Or another version could be that he's going on a boat. Now Rashi apparently is not good at that, because Rashi just explains that a Sfina usually goes above 10 Tfachim, which is relevant to what we just talked about as far as this whole question of going on a boat on Shabbos. Usually it's above 10 Tfachim. Usually there's more than 10 Tfachim from the seabed or the riverbed or whatever until the bottom of the boat, let alone until where you're standing, which you have a machlokas within that also, whether the 10 Tfachim count only until the bottom of the boat or till the deck that you're standing on. But whatever it is, the point is that usually you have much more than that. So that would be another question whether there's an issue of tchumen with that. In fact, Tosfos says in the previous sugya, when we were asking on Rabbi Zera, that the Mishnah is saying that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva rotzu lahachmer al atzman, they wanted to be machmer, implying that they weren't required to. We asked, according to Rabbi Zera, weren't they required to? One answer is the boat usually is going more than 10 tfachim above the seabed. So then it would. So according to him, also would be yeah. Okay. So what's the din? Omer of Hoshi at Toshma. Maisa Shabom with plunder sin v'fligas v'nasim ayam chola. We have the story of the four chachamim on the ship that we had in the Mishnah, and we said that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva were machmer and would only walk within four amos because they wanted to be machmer on themselves. So iamet b'shlema yesh tchumin. If you say that there's tchumin even higher than 10 tfachim, and here the boat is going more than 10 tfachim off the seabed. That explains why they felt there's a need to be machmer on themselves. Technically, they wouldn't be required to, like we said in the previous sugya, because they're within the mechitzas of the boat, or because the boat itself is moving. But we can say they wanted to be machmer because the fact is they are outside of their original tchum. Eli amat ein tchumen, but if you say that there's no tchumen higher than 10 tfachim anyway, so they're more than 10 tfachim off the seabed, so there's not even room for a chumra, amai rotzu, why would they even have wanted to be machmer on themselves if we were to say that ein tchumen l'mayla ma'asara? The answer is, kid omar rova b'halachas b'rakak, just like Rava says, on another case that we're going to discuss in a second, the next case in the Mishnah, Rava says in that connection that the case was where the boat is actually going in very shallow water. The water is shallower than 10 tfachim at that point. So the same thing, you could answer over here that the ship was going in very shallow water and therefore it is within 10 tfachim of the ground. On the side over here, it brings a girsa. It's not that it was going in rakak, but shema tahalach b'rakak. It might it might go into shallow water. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva were machmer on themselves in case it goes at some point in shallow water, which is less than 10 tefachim, and then for sure Truman would apply. Well, nowadays, it would be very hard to find a ship that can travel in such shallow water. But in those days, they had different kinds of ships, and there could be kinds that could go in very shallow water. Toshba. Toshma, let's look at the continuation of the Mishnah. Pam achas le'nichnas le'nomol ad shechashecha v'chula. The Mishnah says that one time, again, these four chachamim were on a boat, and it only got to the port after Shabbos began, and they were wondering whether they were within the tchum before Shabbos began, which if yes, then good, they'd be allowed to get off the boat. If not, they would not be able to. And Rabbi Gamliel tells them that, as we're going to see on Amud Beis, that he knows that they were within 2,000 amos of the port when Shabbos began. So, Iyamet b'shlemi yesh tchumen. If you say that there are tchumen, l'mayla ma'asara shaper, then we understand very well what the problem was. They were concerned that they might be outside the tchum, and Rabbi Gamliel tells them, don't worry, we're within the tchum. No, it doesn't matter. Rishuyas doesn't matter. We're just talking about tchumen. Ela Iamat ain't chumen, but if you say that ain't chumen l'mayla me'asara anyway, ki loy ha'yunim b'secha tchum ma'yhavi, who cares whether they're within the tchum or not? We would say, in other words, they don't begin to have a tchum until they reach within 10 tfachim of the ground, within 10 tfachim of the ground, and by that time they'd already be at the port. And again, Omar Rava b'malach ha'spirakak, so here's the original context where Rava said, we're talking about that the boat was traveling in shallow water, and so they were concerned. So now, if it was within shallow water, and at the beginning of Shabbos we were more than 2,000 amos away from the port, then we wouldn't be able to get off the boat on Shabbos because we'd be going outside our tchum. And Rabbi Gamliel tells them, "Don't worry, we were within the tchum when Shabbos began." If they were above 10 tefachim, if we say ain't chumen l'mayla ma'asara, then there wouldn't have been a problem. But the Gemara is leaving the question open whether, so far, we haven't answered the question whether yesh chumen l'mayla ma'asara or not. Their makom shvisa had been on the boat. If we say yesh tchumen l'mayla ma'asara, then it would mean whatever point they were at when Shabbos began would be their makom shvisa, and we'd count 2,000 amos from there. If we say ain't tchumen l'mayla ma'asara, then we would say as long as they're in deeper water, then it doesn't matter. Once they reach shallower water, wherever they are at the beginning of Shabbos is the beginning of their tchum. So in this case, they were already within shallow water, according to Rava, and they're wondering, therefore, they're wondering, were we within the tchum of the city, of the port, before Shabbos? And Gamliel tells them that, yes, he measured with his looking glass over there, as we're going to see on Amud Beis, and found that they are. No, because they wouldn't have only four amos. Four amos would only be if they were taken out of their tchum on Shabbos itself. Like this, that's the point. In other words, if we would say that their tchum was more than their makom shvisa was more than 2,000 amos from the port, and then they land in the port on Shabbos, they would be limited to only four amos. Rabbi Gamliel tells them that no, because we were within 2,000 amos of the port, and therefore we can consider the port to be our makom shvisa. We're going to see later on in the parak, you can have an example where a person is traveling on the road before Shabbos, and he notices a landmark in the distance that's within 2,000 amos of where he is, and he says that landmark is going to be my makom shvisa. We're going to talk about that. So here would be a similar kind of thing. Yesterday, when we were learning this, by the way, Mendel Hayward was sitting over here, and he mentioned something in that connection when the Talmidim from Shanghai came to the United States. The boat docked on Shabbos, and they had to arrange with the port authorities for them to be able to stay on the ship until after Shabbos. Otherwise, there would have been this issue of Truman that we're talking about. So apparently, I guess based on our Gemara over here, I don't know whether it was shallow water or not. I mean, I don't think near the port of San Francisco or whatever it was that they docked, I don't think it's such shallow water, but the Gemara we still have the question open whether yesh tchumen l'mayla ma'asara or not, and we haven't finished that yet. So yeah. Toshma. Hani Shev Shmaita. There were seven statements in Hilchos Treifos. The Mishnah in Cholin lists the basic treifas. Then you have the Gemara in Chulin over there lists seven more that are not mentioned in the Mishnah, but were known as halacha. So these seven, these Amen b'tzafra b'shabse kameder of chista b'sura, in the morning those seven statements in halacha were said in front of Rav Chista, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Sura, uvahadi panya b'shabse kameder rova b'disa, that same evening, before Shabbos was over, those same halachas were told over to Rava, or Rabba, it says on the side, maybe it should be, in Pumbedisa, which is much further away, it's well outside a Tchum Shabbos, man amrinu. Who would have been able to tell these halachas in the two yeshivas on the same day? Lav Eliyahu Aminu. We would have to say that it was Eliyahu Anavi. So Eliyahu Anavi came and he's going Lamaila Masara. That would show that Ein Tchumen Lamaila Masara. The answer Alma Ein Tchumen Lamaila Masara. The answer is Loi Duma Yosef Shida Aminu. No, maybe Yosef the Shed told them over, and he doesn't keep Shabbos. Now, there is such a thing, there is such a thing, it's mentioned, the Zoya mentions it, the Alter Rebbe mentions it in Perches of Tanya, that there's such a thing as Shadim Yehudoyim. There are, so to speak, there are Jewish Shadim and there are Goyish Shadim. So here, this Yosef Shida, I guess, is one of the Jewish Shadim, because we're saying he's telling over halachas to the Chachamim, but nevertheless, not necessarily does he keep Shabbos. And the Alter Rebbe associates them in Tanya with the Shadim Nuchroim are associated with Taivas that are also to a person, the Shadim Yehudoyim are associated with Taivas that are Mutter. There is an explanation, though, with that said, the Meiri explains over here, our Gemara, that when we talk about Eliyahu Anavi and we talk about Yosef Shida, we don't mean the supernatural beings. What we mean is Eliyahu, the Gemara is using Eliyahu as a nickname for a Yid who's able to, like Rashi said before, use Shemus of Hashem and fly around in the air. And the Gemara uses Yosef Shida as a nickname for a known Yid in their times who didn't keep Shabbos. Like the Gemara calls him in a derogatory sense, he's like a shed who doesn't keep Shabbos. But in other words, according to the Meiri, both of them were talking about actual regular human beings. There is a good deal of discussion, by the way, among Achronim, the Chassam Sofer, among others, has a tshuva about it. How are we able to accept halachas from Eliyahu HaNavi? What happened to Loi B'Shamayim Hi? So the one explanation is that there's a difference whether Eliyahu is malubash in a body or not. When he's malubash in a body, then he's like any of the other chacham. In fact, he was the greatest chacham of his times. He was the Makabal HaTorah in his times, in the chain from Moshe Rabbeinu until us. So therefore, when he comes in a body, then we can learn halachas from him just like from any other Talmud Chacham. That's what we say. For example, Tishvi Yitaretz, Kushi Yisvi Boyis. When he's only a neshama, then no. Then we say Torah Lebeshamayim. So here, we'd be talking about that he came in a goof. Okay. So there's no proof, in other words, that Eliyahu was the one who brought these halachas from Surah to Pumbedisa, because maybe, in fact, it was Yosef Shida, and therefore that doesn't show that you're able to do it. Maybe Yosef Shida doesn't keep Shabbos, and therefore there's no proof one way or the other. Tashma, a brisa says that if a person makes a neder, Hareini Nazir b'yom sheben David ba, I will become a Nazir on the day that Ben David, that Mashiach, comes. So the din is mutter lishtes yayin b'shabosis v'yom yom tovim. He's allowed to drink wine and do the other things that a Nazir would not be allowed to do on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because Mashiach is not going to come on Shabbos or Yom Tov, as we're going to talk about. One second, hold that thought. But also lishtes yayin kol yomos achol. But he's not allowed to drink wine throughout all the weekdays, because on any weekday Mashiach could come. So let's figure. If you say yesh tchumen l'mayla me'asara, then that means that now we understand why can't Mashiach come on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Debe Shabbos is v'yom tov and mutter. So the person is mutter on Shabbos or Yom Tov because Mashiach can't be coming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It involves coming from outside the tchum. Now, why does it necessarily involve coming from outside the tchum? The fact is, one of the things Mashiach has to do is v'kabet nidcha Yisrael. He has to gather all the chachamim together. The Jewish people are scattered all over the world, well outside a tchum, one from the other. So inevitably, it would mean that he'd have to travel outside the tchum. So then we would understand. So he can't come on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So therefore that can't be a day should ben David ba, and therefore you'd be able to drink wine on that day. In that same tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, by the way, he has a famous statement that, you know, like this, and, you know, the Rebbe always kocht sich in Mashiach, so we tend to be much more familiar than the rest of the world with all the various statements about Mashiach that you can find in different Svarim. Chassam Sofer talks in this connection about the idea, in every generation, there's somebody who is roaring to be Mashiach, unfortunately, up until now, the Dur was never Zoichatet. When the time comes, then Hashem will come to him in Nevuah and tell him it's time to reveal yourself and it's time to go and gather the Chachamim together and so forth. Like he says, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu lived to 80 years old, and then Hashem finally told him, gather together the Skenim, and it's time to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So he says, the Gula Amitis Vashlema will be a similar kind of thing. So you have, in other words, so you're talking about that you have this person who's already he's already the potential Mashiach for a long time, but only now is he actually Ben David Ba, and now he's coming in. Yeah. So Eli Amit ain't chumin, but if you say ain't chumin l'mayla me'asara, so therefore it's possible to travel above 10 tefachim and go as far as you want on Shabbos, b'shabbosis of Yom Tov HaMayim Mutar, then why would you be allowed, why would this guy who made a neder of Nazir on the day that Ben David ba, why would he not have to be a Nazir on Shabbos and Yom Tov? L'chora Mashiach could come l'mayla me'asara, from l'mayla me'asara tefachim. So that would prove that yesh tchumin l'mayla me'asara. Fine, but he could come in each place. The point is, the Gemara is assuming in each place he could come l'mayla. He could go to one place, tell the Jewish people there, Mashiach, I'm here. Hinei zeba. Then he flies to the next place above 10 tefachim and repeats the same thing, and he can travel. Yeah. The answer is shiny hosam. The reason is the answer is it's different in that case. There's a different reason why we would say that Mashiach. Why we would say this guy is mutter to drink wine on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Omakra, because after all, the pasuk says that you have. There's not just Mashiach. There's Eliyahu Hanavi. Hine Anoichi Sheleach Lacham Eis Eliyahu Hanavi. The pasuk says that I'm going to send you Eliyahu Hanavi. Lifne Boyem Hashem Agodov Hanora. And like this, we see on any particular Shabbos, Eliyahu did not come the day before to announce that the Geula is coming. So therefore, in other words, so the Gemara is saying the reason why, in other words, on any given Shabbos or any given Yom Tov, the reason why we would know Mashiach is not coming on that day is not nothing to do with Tchumen, Lamayla Masara or not, but because if Mashiach was supposed to come today, then Eliyahu would have had to come yesterday to be Mevaseret. Now, hold that thought, because it's not so simple, but wait. So in this case, v'holoi osa Eliyahu me'esmol. Eliyahu did not come yesterday on Erev Shabbos, so therefore we know that Mashiach is not coming on that Shabbos. So the question is, yihochi b'chol kol yom v'yom nami l'shturi. By that logic, then the guy should be mutter to drink wine on any weekday, every single day. D'holoi osa Eliyahu me'esmol, because they're also the same thing. Eliyahu didn't come yesterday, so therefore Mashiach is not coming that day. Ela Amrin and the Beis Din HaGadol also. L'chura, the answer is that maybe Eliyahu came to the Beis Din HaGadol. The Rambam writes that it's a Kabbalah B'yadenu, that the Sanhedrin is going to be reestablished in Tveria. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that the Sanhedrin went into Golos into many different places, from the Lishkas HaGozes to Chanuyas, and from Chanuyas to Yerushalayim, and then to Yavne, and then to Usha, and so forth. So the last place was in Tveria. And then the Gemara says, Mishoma Sidim Lachzer. From there, the Sanhedrin is going to be reestablished in Tveria. And then from there they'll move to the Beis Mikdash once the Beis Mikdash is built. So therefore, so what happens on any given day? Eliyahu could come to the Beis Din HaGadol in Tveria. Okay, so you didn't hear about it because you live someplace else. You didn't know what's going on in Tveria. You have to be Shaykh to the Beis Din HaGadol, of course. But nevertheless, you have the question, how do you have a Beis Din HaGadol before Mashiach comes anyway? One answer is based on the very famous Rambam, who says that the Rambam has a shita that you're able to reestablish smicha nowadays if all the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael agree to be Somech. Somebody. We know that famously, almost 500 years ago, Rabbi Yaakov Bey Rav, one of the Rabbeim of the Beis Yosef, tried that. He got together all the Chacham of Tzfas, which in those times was the majority of the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael, and they agreed to be Somech Reb Yaakov himself, and he himself in turn was Somech a couple of other people. Reb Chaim Vital was one of the ones who had that smicha, or the Beis Yosef was, the Maharit, there were a number of the Chachamim of that generation who had that smicha. The Rabach, though, disagreed with the whole premise of it, and eventually it fell apart. Anyway, it was a very famous episode in Jewish history. Well, the Rabbah had good reasons al pi halacha to be against it. It wasn't stam, chas v'shalom that he's just doing it in order to argue. But there was. I mean, the part of the question was this: that the Rambam's saying it is that in fact valid? Is that the last word on this? Is that the last word on this halacha? The Rambam himself seems to say he's not sure about it. Maybe it's only all the Chacham about Yisrael, and now it wasn't all, it was only most, etc. There was a whole back and forth between it. The Radvaz was involved over there. He was the chief rabbi of Egypt in that time, and he was also involved on the Rabbah side. It became a huge big thing. So according to those who held of it, it was valid. According to those who held of that it wasn't, it wasn't. Anyway. So the point is, on any given weekday, why do we say Mashiach could come that day? Because Eliyahu might have come yesterday to the Beis Din HaGadol, and you just don't know about it yet. So fine, also, Hochanami, Leimel Beis Din HaGadol also. New, the same thing, then you should say that Mashiach could come on Shabbos. Again, if you say Ein Tchum and Lamayla Me'asara, and therefore he's able to jump and fly from one place to another to gather the Jewish people together, so then you could have Eliyahu could have come on Friday to the Beis Din HaGadol, and you don't know about it yet. Why is this guy allowed to drink wine on Shabbos, even though he made a neder that he's going to be a nazir b'yom sheben David ba? The answer is kvar muftach lahen liyisrael she'en eliyahu ba loy ba'arve shabbosis loy ba'arve yom tovim mipnei ha'torah. The Jewish people are guaranteed that Eliyahu is not going to come on erev Shabbos or on erev Yom Tov mipnei ha'torah because of the bother, because everybody's busy preparing for Shabbos, and when Eliyahu comes, everybody's going to want to go and greet him, and then it's going to interfere with Shabbos preparation. So therefore, he's not going to come. So the Gemara says, Ka sakadaitach. Okay, so now for purposes of argument, we assume Mide Eliyahu Asa Mashiach Nami Le'osi. Preposterous then, by the same logic, if Eliyahu is not going to come on Erev Shabbos for that reason, because of the Tircha, then we would assume it means Mashiach is not going to come on Erev Shabbos for the same reason also, because it'll interfere with Shabbos preparations. No, Eliyahu is not Mashiach. There is the question, one of the many things that comes in this sugya is the question, is it necessarily the case that Eliyahu is going to come before Mashiach comes? The Rambam himself writes in Hilchos Malachim that yesh omrim that Eliyahu will come before Mashiach, but it's not a given. Yesh omrim that only after Mashiach starts the process of being Makabat Nidchei Yisrael, then Eliyahu will come and work out people's yichusim and answer all the unresolved questions and so forth. One of the many answers on this is that there's a difference. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, famously, that there's two ways Mashiach can come: Be'ita and Achitshena. There's the fixed time that Hashem has predetermined when Mashiach is going to come. That's Be'ita, whether we deserve it or not. And then there's Achitshena, where at any time Yisrael is in Truva, Miyaren Negalim, even ahead of schedule. One of the many differences between Be'ita and Achishena is whether Eliyahu has to come first to announce that Mashiach is coming. That can depend. If it's Be'ita, then yes, and if it's Achishena, then not necessarily. So the Gemara over here, then according to that, we'll all be talking about the Be'ita kind of Mashiach coming, the one that's pre-scheduled. With that said, I mean, there is a huge amount to talk about this that ever once talked about the idea, you know, after all, I mean, taking the Jewish people out of Golos is a matter of pikuach nefesh. So in that case, maybe even it can happen on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because, every extra second in Golos is. It's funny, by the way, in a footnote, we all know Rabbi Avraham Gerlitsky here in Crown Heights. He wrote a sefer some years back called Yemosa Mashiach Bahalacha, where he goes through many different sugyas in Gemara and Rishonim and Achronim and ever on different topics involving Mashiach's coming and what dinim are going to be the same and what dinim are going to be different and whatever. And he published a sefer of it. The first essay in it is on this Gemara over here. I don't even know if it should be Mishab Ben David, but in the footnotes in the art scroll, they have a quotation to it. I found that very, they have his name a little bit wrong in the footnotes, but I found it a little bit interesting that these guys who are not usually particularly friendly to Lubavitch, they had no choice. They need to quote something about Mashiach that they quoted from his sefer. Anyway, so B'Seich HaDvarim, he analyzes this Gemara, and yeah, he mentions this point about the difference between Be'ita and Achishena. And therefore, that when the Gemara is talking about over here about Eliyahu coming before Mashiach, that may be only in the Be'ita kind, not the Achishena kind. Okay. So anyway, the question is, if we assume that when we say that Eliyahu is not going to come on Erev Shabbos, means Mashiach is not going to come on Erev Shabbos either, in that case, B'malei Shabbos Alishteri, in that case, this guy who made the neder, Harini Nozer B'yem Sheben David Ba, we're saying he's allowed to drink wine on Shabbos, why shouldn't he be allowed on Erev Shabbos also? The same logic. The answer is Eliyahu loy osi, Mashiach osi. The difference is that no, Eliyahu is not going to come on Erev Shabbos, but Mashiach will. Why? What's the difference? When Mashiach comes, it's also going to interfere with people's Shabbos preparations. No, kiven de osi Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, hakol avodin hein li Yisrael. All the nations of the world become the avodim to the Jewish people. We're not talking about even that they're going to have to be forced into it. In fact, Ben Yehoyada says, the Lashon over here, avodin hein li Yisrael, what's the hein? It means that they'll all be willing to. They're all going to understand now for the first time the greatness of the Jewish people and the greatness of the Eibishter, and they're voluntarily going to come in order to serve us and help us. No, that's as soon as Mashiach comes, we're saying. So as soon as Mashiach comes, therefore, so even though it's Erev Shabbos, it's not going to interfere with our Shabbos preparation, because at that point, the Goyim will come and say, okay, we'll finish your Shabbos preparation, so you can go and greet Mashiach, and you can go, and then you, yeah. That's according to the Rambam, right? So you have the famous thing about the two stages in Mashiach's times, right? But even in that first stage, there's not going to be shibud malchius, meaning that at that point they're going to realize that the Jewish people are the greatest nation, and that they should be working for and serving us. Before even you have the second stage, when Olam is not Kimin Hoger Noyag anymore, and you have all the nisim that happened. Even in that first stage already, you have that it's not just that they're not hostile, but that they'll be friendly and that they'll be helpful. Yeah. So therefore, Mashiach could come on Erev Shabbos, but Eliyahu can't. The question is b'chad b'shaba l'shirei. Okay, but going back to again this case of Hareini Noze B'yem Sheben David Ba, if we're saying that Eliyahu has to come one day before Mashiach, then by that logic, Eliyahu apparently is not coming on Shabbos, because again, if we say ain't chumin l'mayla ma'asara, then yesh chumin l'mayla ma'asara rather, then it would mean that Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos either, because he can't fly above 10 tefachim and then be able to come to the base in Agadol. Therefore, b'chad b'shaba lishteri. So therefore, it should be mutter for the person to drink wine on Sunday, delay also Eliyahu b'Shabbos, because Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos according to that logic. Wouldn't that prove that ain't chumim l'mayla ma'asara? And therefore, above 10 tefachim, there's no chumim. And therefore, Eliyahu could conceivably come to the Beis Din HaGadol on Shabbos. And therefore, Mashiach could come on Sunday. What kind of? Sometimes you can have a Ra'as Shah, fine. No. But here we're talking about a din. We're talking about a person made a neder, Hareini Nozeh B'yom Sheben David Ba. We're trying to figure out what days could Mashiach or could Eliyahu come. If we say yesh tchumen l'mayla ma'asara, that would mean that even Eliyahu Navi is not able to break, since he's not going to break Shabbos, then he's not going to come from above 10 tefachim to the Beis Din HaGadol. If the Beis Din HaGadol makes that exception, but Eliyahu first has to come to the Beis Din HaGadol and give his credentials, so they can't be matir anything until then. So the question is, so Eliyahu himself, on the face of it, the question is like this. If we said that this person was able to drink wine on Sunday, then that would mean, in other words, that would show that. Why? Because Mashiach's not going to come that day, because Eliyahu can't have come on Shabbos. But we're saying he can't drink wine on Sunday either, which implies, therefore, that Eliyahu could come to the Beis Din HaGadol on Shabbos. So now becomes the question. So what's the deal as far as the Tchumen? Yesh Tchumen L'mayla Ma'asara or not? The answer is Haytana Sapuki Misapkilei, Yesh Tchumen or Ain't Tchumen. The answer is the Tana actually has a suffix, whether Yesh Tchumen L'mayla Ma'asara or Ain't Tchumen L'mayla Ma'asara. Or L'chumra, so therefore he goes L'chumra. Now, what does it mean, L'chumra? Here you have Machlokes Rishonim. Does it mean that we go L'chumra for both the din of the Nazir and the din of Tchumen? Or does it mean that no, Nazir sure, because the din Daraisa, Shavua is a Daraisa, and Nazir is Daraisa. But when it comes to Tchumen, Tchumin are Dirabonon, so therefore at least the Tchum of 2,000 Amos is Dirabonon, so therefore we could be Mekel. So in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that we can't, that since it's a Suffolk Dirabonon, we can be Mekel, unless we're talking about the Tchum of 12 mil, since you have, as we've learned before, there is an opinion that the Tchum of 12 mil is Daraisa, that Amam holds that way, then therefore if you're talking about going above 10 Tvachim, from within 12 mil to outside it, then fine, you can't, maybe you can't do that on Shabbos, but within that, then you would be, then because of the Suffolk Dirabon on Lakola, so you would be able to. Okay. So the question is, now getting back again to this person who made the neder, Dekoi Amas, what day is he standing on? What day does this take place when he makes this neder? Elema Dekoi Amas, Dekoi Amas, what day is he standing on? What day is it right now when he makes this neder? Elema Dekoi Bechoil, if he's on a weekday, he makes this neder. Well, the question is, given the chal alei nezirus, once nezirus has chal on him, he's suffic, because Mashiach might come today, heichi asya shabbos of umafka alei, then how could Shabbos come and cancel it when it's only a suffic? Ela dekoi b'shabbos of a konader, or we yomtev of a konader. So it must be, we're talking about he made the neder on Shabbos or on yomtev itself, and it means, v'ahu yoimuhu d'shorilei, it's only that one day that he's mutter, because as we're saying, Mashiach is not going to come that day. But mikan ve'elach also lay, from then on, he is in fact also even on Shabbos and even on Yom Tovim, because again, as we said before, Eliyahu might have come on Friday to the Beis Din HaGadol, and we just don't know about it yet. And therefore, Mashiach might come on Shabbos because maybe ein tchum in l'mayla ma'asara, and therefore Mashiach is able to fly from one place to another on Shabbos itself. So once the neder is chal, right after Shabbos, so right after Yom Tov, then it remains in effect. Then it remains in effect after that. Okay, we said in the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah. Pam achas lenichnas lenomal v'chola. We said. By the way, of course, you see from this when we say achakalay b'chol yom shiyavay, you see what a real thing it is in halacha that every single day we have to. This guy for the whole rest of his life has to. Act has to be a nazir because Mashiach might come any given day. So he stays a nazir until either Mashiach comes or until either Mashiach comes or he passes away. Yeah. By the way, in this connection, since we're saying in our Gemara over here that Eliyahu may not be able to come on Shabbos, if we say Yesh Tchum L'mayla Ma'asara, this is it's brought in Sfarim. This is a reason why on Motzei Shabbos we sing with it. We sing Zmiras about Eliyahu Anavi. Eliyahu Anavi Bimheira Yavav Yag. Why? Because on Shabbos he couldn't necessarily have come. So now that it's a new week, we're saying now Mashiach can now Eliyahu can come every day. So therefore let's. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Pam achas lenichnasu l'nomo v'chola. One time, these four chachamim we said were on a boat, and it didn't reach the port until Shabbos, and they weren't sure what the din is. Are they allowed to walk more than four amos or not? And Rav Gamliel tells them that I was watching before Shabbos, and I could already see we're within 2,000 amos. So how does he know? Tana, we learn in a b'raisa. Shveferes hoiseloy l'Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel had a special kind of tube. Show your mabit with soifaba alpaim amabia bosha uknegda alpaim bayam. He was able to look through this tube and see to a distance of 2,000 amas on land or a distance of 2,000 amas on the water. So Rashi explains that if you have a tube, a narrow tube, you can see through less. A wide tube, you can see through more. He had the tube exactly calibrated in thickness that when he's looking through it, he can see exactly until 2,000 amas. So therefore, he could see. He was able to see the port through it, and therefore he was able to. That's how Rashi explains. You have a number of other Rishonim explain that this tube, he worked it using trigonometry. Basically, he had it mounted on a stand. He had it angled down, so it creates a triangle over there. You have the land, the tube, and the height over there, and he's able mathematically to calculate where he sees, where the point on the land where he sees through the tube. He's able to calculate using trigonometry that is more or less than 2,000 amas away from where they are. So in this connection, the Gemara says a couple of other similar things. Suppose a person wants to know how deep a certain valley is. Mevishveferes, he takes a tube similar to that, umabitba, and he looks down into the valley. Vyeda, kama oimke shogai, and then he knows how deep the valley is. Meaning, Rashi describes what you do is like this. You see, you first figure out how much you can see with this tube. It might be like Rambam Gamliel's, where you can see exactly 2,000 amas. It might be more, it might be less, whatever. You figure out what the range of vision of this particular tube is. Then what you do is you stand by the edge of the valley, you go look down to the bottom of it, then you start walking backward until you get to a point where you're not going to see the bottom of it anymore. Then it becomes a very simple calculation. You know, let's say that this particular tube that you made is able to see a distance, let's say, of 100 amas. So if you were standing by the edge and you were able to see the bottom, and then let's say you walk 10 amas back and you can't see the bottom anymore, then you know the bottom is 90, then you know the bottom is 90 amas. It only works. One of the Mefoshim on Ein Yaakov points out, obviously that would only work if the slope down to it is gradual. It wouldn't work if it's a vertical slope. Yeah. Okay. Another example, b'haroitza leida kama gov hishol dekel. If a person wants to know how tall a certain palm tree is, and it's too tall for him to measure directly, moided kaimasai, what he should do is measure his own height, b'tziloi, and measure his shadow at a certain time, then he measures the height of the shadow over the tree, v'yeda kamagoyva shaldekol, and then he finds out from that how tall the tree is. Let's say, for example, he himself is 6 feet tall, let's say. He measures his shadow at a certain time and finds it's 12 feet long. So that means the shadow is double his height. So then the same thing, if now he measures the length of the shadow of this tree and finds that it's 100 amas, let's say, then he knows the tree is 50 amas tall, because the same proportion. No, we're not talking about depth. We're talking about the shadow. We're talking about the shadow as it's cast on the ground. Let's say if at the particular time his own shadow is double his own height, then it means the palm tree's shadow is also double the height of the palm tree. So therefore, it means that the palm tree now is half the length of that shadow. Besides for the simple meaning, I mean, it's a simple practical thing to do, but also one of the Mefarshim, I think Ben Yehoyada, says a deeper vote on it. It means the palm trees represent the tzaddikim. If you start thinking, this tzaddik, is he really such a great guy? Maybe he's not of the caliber of the tzaddikim of previous generations. Realize for yourself that you realize your own height and then compare it to that, and then compare it to that palm tree, and you'll see it's still bigger than you are. Okay. Also in this connection, speaking of shadows, if a person wants that wild animals shouldn't hang out in the shadow of a caver. So imagine you have a person is building a caver, is building a matseva over it. The problem is you don't want there to be shade there, that a chayara is going to come and sit in the shade over there, and then it may end up smelling the body underground and digging it up or whatever. So you want to avoid that. What you do is, stick a stick into the ground 4 hours into the day. Now, why 4 hours? That's the time when in the sunny areas it's hot, but in the shade it's still cool. So that is the time of day when animals look for shade. Before that, it's still cool even in the sunny areas. And after that, it starts getting hot even in the shady areas, which is why Rashi brings, for example, that any mun that was left over that wasn't collected every morning, that was 4 hours into the day. So what you do is you stick a stick into the ground at that time. Notice what direction the shadow goes, and then then what you do is you angle the building on top of the cave in that direction in order that the shadow now is shorter, and in order now that the shadow is shorter or non-existent, and that way there won't be a place for Chaya to want to hang out in it. So you have the example over here. Like this, you would build the thing just square, and you have room for a chaya. So like this, instead, you notice that the shadow is going to be cast in this direction. So instead, what you do is you build it on an angle like this, and that way there's very little shadow over there, and that way there's no place that a chaya raw is going to be interested in hanging out. Yeah. Okay. Yishkayach, everyone.